Hallelujah. Our Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Today is the climax, not only of all of Christ's work rising from the dead, but also of a sermon series, a worship series. We offered all during Lent on Wednesday nights. Our Wednesday night worshipers know this. Also last Sunday, we continued it, Sunday of the Passion, Palm Sunday. Thursday night, we touched on it as we did come to the table, but we were in the upper room, then Friday at Golgotha, and then today. Places of the Passion is the title, and we journey today outside that garden tomb. It is called the empty tomb. And we've been in the Gospel of Matthew the whole series today. It is the appointed gospel for this day that you just heard. I won't read it all again, but I'm going to highlight here what happens four times. At least it's mentioned four times. We'll let you discern it. It mentions after the appearance of the angel, for fear of him, the guards trembled. Then the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. And then later it says they departed with fear and great joy and met Jesus. And as Jesus met them, he told them, do not be afraid. Did you catch it? In Jesus' name today, fear is the subject, at least at first. And in Jesus' name today, fear is conquered. Maybe using the letters a definition in the sermon resources for this series of fear could be false evidence appearing real. That causes fear. Had discussions at breakfast with some of the 7 a.m. worshipers about this. Is it always false evidence? And I came to the conclusion, I don't know about the others at the table. Yeah, it's always false evidence, but that evidence seems overwhelming at times. There's a cancer diagnosis or some threat to you in a relationship. Maybe there's some confusion and the problem you're trying to solve and see no solution, or you're beset by persecution and tribulation and you just have no more strength, you think, and fear arises. The emotions start to churn, but it is false evidence appearing real, because our Lord and Savior has an answer and a solution for every one of those. Today, the call is to replace fear with faith, or let the Holy Spirit do it through His Word as it shares. But constantly it's a temptation. What if this goes wrong, or what if that happens? The entire congregation can feel that. And the evidence, again, seems right before us that we should be afraid. In these materials, a big mention is made of a piece of art that is located in Colmar, France. And it's called the Isenheim Altarpiece. Maybe another pastor has used this with you, or you have done the research yourself. But it is one of those triptychs, or whatever they're called, from the Renaissance. They decorated their altars magnificently with artwork. This was done around the time of Martin Luther, about 500 years ago, by two artists, Nicholas of Hagenau and Matthias Grunewald. And as it stands normally, if you went to see it in the museum in which it now resides, it looks like that. Originally, it was in a monastery, the monastery of St. Anthony. And those monks of that order were medical missionaries. They operated a hospital hundreds of years ago. And that hospital specifically treated skin diseases. And I don't know which ones or how they defined them medically back then. But we know this from history, and we know it from the altarpiece. You can't see. Go home and look it up. But depicting Jesus on the cross, he is beset with skin disease. The color of his skin intentionally is almost a pale green, wan. He's obviously sick, at least in his skin. And of course, there are lesions and the wounds he bore on the cross. The evidence is clear. A gigantic problem. The others around in the artwork recognize that Mary, his mother, is there grieving over the death of her son. Who knows what temptations to fear she had. Also there is John the Baptizer, although that's not true chronologically. He died and went to heaven as a martyr much previous to the death of Christ. But he had proclaimed Jesus as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice, and he's recognizing that, at least artistically, there. And we know John in prison had questions. Who knows what kind of fears he had before he was killed? But that altarpiece shows what is really, really true in reality. That Jesus deals with those fears and those problems. The skin disease he has is but a metaphor for something we all have, sin. That contamination of our human nature, it's always with us in this life, and which separates you from God, abhorrent, obnoxious to the holy, perfect God. He can't stand to have you around you if there was no answer. But Jesus took it upon himself. All your sin, all your guilt, all your disease, all your death, your damnation that should come from God, and he took it away. That is not the only way the Eisenheim altarpiece appears on high holy days like the resurrection of our Lord Easter. Its doors are open to show Jesus in his exaltation after his humiliation on the cross. And again, you can't see all the scenes, but there's bright, brilliant colors now. Jesus is risen from the dead. His skin is actually a different tone, and the people around him are celebrating his victory over death, disease, damnation. Even though it's still recognized, we do know from the Bible that even after Jesus rose from the dead, we'll hear it next Sunday as we share John chapter 20, that he had the marks of the nails still in his hands and his feet, and the wound from the spear after he died thrust through him. In the Eisenheim altarpiece, the artist, however, depict those wounds with rubies, precious gems. The wounds of Jesus, as we just sang, are indeed the most precious of all time and give us life in the face of anything that would make you afraid. Your own guilt you think is unforgivable. Look at the wounds of Jesus. It's paid. It's gone. You got some earthly fears of problems or things in the future. He's got them handled, for he rose from the dead. And if you're wondering about eternal life, as I told the children, the fourth thing the resurrection of Christ proves is that you shall rise too, and you shall, because I live, Jesus said, you shall live also. Indeed, we go forth today, not with fear, but with faith and boldness, newly alive. It's a big difference. There is a true story that came with these materials. I didn't know until I read them, about a man named Grisha Siklenko. I think he was from the Ukraine. I looked it up one time. Grisha Siklenko. In 1960, something amazing happened. Grisha Siklenko walked into his town to the shock of his friends, neighbors, and even family, because everyone thought that Grisha Siklenko had died in World War II. And he walks into town. There was an explanation. The night they drafted the town folk into the war, he ran away. He went home to where his mother had made a hiding place for him. And I've looked this up, it's true. Basically under a manure pile. No one would think to look there. And there he hid, maybe not all the time, but for the bulk of his life, what would that be? 15 years, he was hiding in manure. In the winter, he almost froze to death. In the summer, with the fumes, he's almost suffocated. Eventually, I guess, was the reason he could take no more, and he showed himself. He expected to be prosecuted and punished, maybe in prison, but the people, first of all, were so amazed. Second of all, I understand the statute of limitations or something had run out, and he was freed to live his life after of his own accord, living in a bunch of manure. How symbolic of you and me many times. We live in fear, and it stinks and smells, and all we need to do is let the risen Jesus again today and always appear to us and live by faith. Yes, he gave many commands after he rose from the dead. And before, love one another, make disciples, go forth and witness. But it's all on the basis of the first command he gave after he rose. Again, right here and repeated many times. It's really a promise. Do not be afraid. Now, there is a good and healthy fear of the Lord, right? That respect and awe of God, knowing what we deserve and how almighty and perfect he is. But it should never be debilitating. And indeed, today we return out loud, not to a fear of the Lord, but praise of the Lord. The word praise in Hebrew is hallel. And the word Lord is a substitute for his name in the Old Testament, Yahweh, indeed. One more time after doing it four times from the book of Revelation at the start. Today, knowing Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.